On today's podcast, boy, do we have some juice for you. Segment one, Tyler and I discuss Tyler's spring break recap, my summer vacation plans, and finish with our final four predictions. In segment two, we talk about the juiciest thing on television last night. Now, before you get your mind in the gutter, we will be giving our full takes on the Chris Rock versus Will Smith episode from the Oscars. Segment three, we talk about some of the worst physical pains we've ever felt. Leave a few recommendations and finish strong with Tyler's quote of the week. You don't want to miss it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Life After College podcast. We are on episode number 8, officially 2 months in, and we have a crazy episode for you guys today. I'm Austin Zerschmid, your host, joined by Tyler Brockman, my co-host. Tyler, what is going on, brother?
Man, it's just another time at it. Hard to believe it's already 2 months, but putting in that work.
Yeah, we've been grinding away for sure. Now, I know last week was your spring break. I think you only got one spring break left in your college career. So how did you spend your penultimate one?
Well, after getting, you know, hit by a brick wall with them allergies at the beginning of the week, had to recover from that, laid up on the couch, watched a bunch of Netflix, was watching some good shows and stuff, went to a, what do you call it, like a networking event. That was fun, a little outside my comfort zone, but, you know, you got to do things outside your comfort zone. Other than that, just kind of chilled for the most part.
Did you get that oil change?
Yeah, there's problems with it too. I think that they
got problems when you come in for an oil change. Like, yeah, your headlights don't work, your seats
Nothing like that. Like, they, you know, I drop it off at like 9 a.m. right? They're like, okay, it's gonna be like 2 or 3 hours. I was like, yeah, no problem. I go to brunch with my wife, then we go to the mall, you know, we're spending some time. It's like 4 hours later. And then they finally like call and are like, okay, it's ready for pickup. I was expecting a call, you know, like an hour in, like, hey, you know, we're doing this oil change, but, you know, you're going to need 4 new brakes and, you know, all sorts of new things. But they didn't hit me with any of that. So I was already kind of bamboozled. Well, then Saturday, I go, I was going over to a crawfish boil. And I'm driving and I get low tire pressure. I'm like, well, that's weird. They just, you know, rotated my tires. I figured they would have, you know, checked the air.
They didn't put air in it. They just put them around.
They just moved them around, I guess. But yeah, so I haven't had any problems with these tires like leaking air or anything. But I was like, whatever, that's fine. Pump it up. Well, I go to pump it up the next day because it was like late when I got home. Wasn't going to deal with that in the dark, you know, making noises and all that. So I go to like pump up the tires. Well, they'd like moved around my little like plastic hubcap covers on a couple of the tires that you couldn't even get to the whatever you call it that you pump the air into, the little nozzle. So I was only able to check two of them, and one of them was like pretty low. So that was the one that was causing the sensor to go off. But then I'm looking at the tire and like the rim is, you know, dinged on it. So I don't know. Hopefully by next week I'll have it figured out what the problem was. Then I'll let you know if I can recommend you never go to that service place. But, you know, I'm going to give them a chance to, you know, fix things, get it right. But I don't know. I was just disappointed, to say the least. You know, I haven't had issues with the tires, and then all of a sudden I got one that's down like 12 psi. So we'll see if it it's already dropped a couple psi since Sunday, so that makes me think that there's like a small leak or something in it.
Yeah, if that rim's bent, it's probably coming out. but I don't know what caused the issue for the rim to go that way or what. If they hit it with a hammer or something.
Yeah, it looks like they dropped it or something. I don't know. But, I mean, you know me. I like my NASCAR. I like my Formula One. But I don't really know how cars work like that. So I don't know what they're going to say. I just had to leave a voicemail today. I guess I didn't get to them in time, but
yeah,
we'll see how that goes. So,
did they top off your headlight fluid?
I mean, I have no idea what they did. I mean, like, how do you have a car for 4 hours and not check the tire pressure or something? I don't know.
Yeah,
suspect. That's all I'm saying.
Did they try to upsell you on, you know, needing brakes?
That's the thing. They didn't try to upsell me on anything. And I was like, okay, I mean, I know, you know, been a while since I've got new tires. I don't think I've got new brakes on this car yet. So I know, like, some stuff is going to have to happen eventually. But yeah, they didn't try to upsell me on anything.
So it would have been funny if they called you up and said, so when you came here, you had 4 wheels, correct? And they're like, okay, so what happened here?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, we'll see. Hopefully, I get it all sorted out soon. I'm hoping that, you know, when I go to drive to school tomorrow, that I don't get, like, the low tire pressure signal. You know, if it's already dropped 2 PSI, I don't know how far it has to drop before the, you know, detector is going to go off, but...
Yeah, I would guess it's probably losing PSI right now, just sitting outside.
Probably so.
So you might need to wake up a little early and check before you head out.
That's all right. I got one of those pumps that you can plug into your car outlet.
Yeah,
I know. And it pumps it up. Those are very convenient. I do recommend those because no one likes to try to stop at a gas station where their air pump doesn't work, or you got to find some quarters or something like that just to pump up the tires a little bit.
Or you got somebody trying to hustle you.
People are always trying to hustle you at the gas station.
Hey, dogs got to eat.
I just need 87 cents. So, but yeah, that's kind of how my spring break ended. So all in all, it was pretty good. I needed a relaxing week. I mean, all in all, like, you know, the end of it wasn't great, but, you know, allergies started me off low, but I did get well rested. I felt well rested when I went back to school. So that was important.
Yeah, I hear you. And kind of since you finished up your spring break vacation, I went ahead and started planning my summer vacation and got that booked. So
where are you going? You going to Florida?
We're going to Florida, obviously. And surprisingly, we're going to stay in the same condominium that we stayed at last year.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah. We're going in July. We're not going to stay in the same exact condo. I think we're staying at one that's higher up. It's kind of more on looking the ocean. So I like that it was right next to Pineapple Willie's. They have that sangria bar where you just take that cup. And they have like basically like a 7-Eleven icy machine where there's like 20 different flavors you can mix and match and, you know, right by our place, right by the beach. And then you could rent a seat and umbrella for the week. So I think we'll do that and probably go out and adventure more. So we're going for a full 7 days as compared to last time we went for just 3. So we'll have a lot more time to do stuff and should be a fun time. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to the next vacation after I just took mine snow ski trip a couple weeks ago. So ready to hit the beach. When's your Tahoe trip coming up?
Tahoe trip, that is gonna be in May.
Like Labor Day?
No, it's like Derby We're going to leave on, like, Derby and then come back that next Saturday.
What the hell?
Hey, it's, like, the week that we have off, so we got to do what we got to do.
I mean, if there is a time to be in the state of Kentucky, it is for the Derby stuff.
No, I hear what you're saying, but, like, the price difference on if you leave on Derby versus if you leave the day after Derby is crazy because everyone's trying to leave this city after Derby. So I'm not trying to pay an extra $1,000, you know, just because the Derby's happening.
Hey,
I got plenty of Derbies that I'm going to experience in the city.
Yeah, I forgot that you're going to live and die in the Ville.
Well, you know, Derby City.
But yeah, so we got that taken care of, and, you know, this past week we've done our brackets, I've done my revised brackets, and I don't think that my revised bracket is in play anymore. We're down to the final four teams of Duke, North Carolina, Kansas, and Villanova. I think I picked upsets in all of those games, and yeah, none of those teams are here now. So give us a quick reminder on who you got in your real bracket, and then what do you think is going to happen in these final four games?
Yeah, so my real bracket, I kept with it because my bracket was doing well. Had a good Sweet 16. My original Final Four was Villanova and Kansas. I had that right. And then I had Texas Tech and UCLA. So I had those wrong. And then I had Villanova over UCLA for the championship. So my my group that I'm in right now is kind of down to four of us who still have a chance to win it. The other three people picked Duke to win it all. I'm the only one with Villanova. So I kind of need Villanova to win out, to win that. So I'm just going to have to keep, you know, Villanova over Kansas. And then it'd be best for me if Duke went ahead and lost. But if we're talking realistically, like what I see happening, I think Duke's going to win. And I mean, I'm going to keep Villanova over Duke, but I could really see that one going either way.
Do you think Coach K comes back after winning a championship? If he does win, saying, like, why would I leave? Like, pulls a Tom Brady.
No shot. I think he's done. I feel like he's kind of been wanting to be done for like the last several years or something. I don't know. Maybe I'm just getting that feeling wrong. I don't have any inside info or anything, but sometimes it just felt like, you know, his back would be hurting or something. And
that's only when the team sucked.
Yeah, well, you know, I think he's tired of, you know, just the grind of it all. So I think, I think when he's done, he's going to be done. You know, there were some stories about how he kind of like handpicked his successor. So I don't think he would want to mess that up. And I think that, you know, him announcing his retirement so early, you know, giving himself a year-long victory tour is kind of like what he had to do to keep his choice for successor to get in, you know?
Mm-hmm. Do we know who's going to take over or no?
Yeah. It's like, I mean, I don't know the guy's name, but he's like an assistant on the team. He's like the coach in waiting.
Boring.
But yeah, there was a story out, I don't know, earlier on in the season about like one of his former players or something who's a coach for, I don't know, I don't remember where, maybe it's one of the military academies, I don't remember. But anyway, he was like being interviewed or whatever And he said that, like, Coach K basically told him, like, no, don't take the job. Like, you're not my pick.
Very interesting, for sure.
What's your Final Four new prediction now that you have to re-predict it since St. Peter's isn't going to carry you through?
They definitely made it interesting, for sure, winning that game over Purdue.
They sure did. I didn't see that coming.
You know who did see it coming?
I mean, I don't know if you can really claim that.
I mean, I picked them to win, and they won. I don't know what else you want from me. But jumping back into this, I hope that North Carolina beats Duke, because if Duke wins a title and Coach K goes out on top, I mean, that's just absolutely gut-wrenching for, I think, 80% of college basketball fans, because sure you fall on a side where either you love Duke, and probably about 99% of the people that love Duke didn't go to Duke, but whatever, or you absolutely hate Duke because of all the success that they have. I kind of fall on the latter, but, you know, they've been on top for so long. They've had a good program these last 5 decades, I think, since Coach K's been there. So I would like for them to have him leave and then they kind of not be as good as they've been before. But who knows? But I'm hoping North Carolina beats them. And then I'm hoping Villanova beats Kansas. I like Jay Wright. I don't mind Villanova. I think they're a cool team. I don't think there's a lot of haters of Villanova, what they've done. I would probably hope for Nova to come out on top. And I think that's my most realistic picks so far this whole tournament.
Yeah, you did see that. I forget the guy's name, but one of Villanova's players tore his Achilles or something like that. So that's going to make that a tough pick. But
wish I would have known that before.
Hey, we don't do research on this show. We just it's shooting from the hip. Yeah, exactly. We don't really need to know all of the insider info. Sometimes it's just about gut feeling. And gut feeling says, if I'm going to win my bracket challenge, I need Villanova to come out on top.
And I think our next topic we got for you guys is going to be very similar to shooting from the hip. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Jumping right into segment number 2, we got one juicy topic for you today. Chris Rock versus Will Smith. I don't know if all of the listeners have seen it. I'm sure they have. But if you are living under a rock, last night at the Oscars was one of the most crazy events on live television that you would probably ever see. Chris Rock is, you know, going through the crowd, saying jokes about whatever, you know, making, you know, small chuckles here and there, bringing up the next stars to introduce, you know, whatever for whatever award. And as he's going through his list that, you know, they've probably rehearsed a couple times, he lands on Jada Pinkett Smith, Will Smith's wife, you know, throws a little drive-by joke, I'd like to say. He said, you know, in reference to her having a bald head, said that, you know, he can't wait for the next G.I. Jane movie. Now, the joke itself, it's okay. I expect more from Chris Rock, honestly. But I think, you know, just shooting from the hip, like we've talked about before.
Yeah, but I mean, that's kind of what you expect from those type of shows, you know? These aren't going to be your, like, top tier jokes, you know, that you see in a Netflix comedy special or anything like that. These are all just kind of, not like B-tier jokes or whatever, but they're television friendly.
Yeah, and you know, he's going through the crowd. You know, he says a one-liner about, you know, three or four people. Gets to Jada Smith, says the G.I. Jane joke. And then that's when everything went left at the Oscars. Will Smith, you know, kind of looks like the camera looks at him. He's laughing, enjoying the joke. You kind of see Jada roll her eyes in annoyance. And you think that's that. And then, you know, it's kind of like a drive-by joke because you say it and then you go to the next one. You say the next one, you go to the next one. You're not really thinking about, you know, what you said before. And then all of a sudden, as Chris Rock's starting to go to the next joke to roast somebody else for, you know, a quick one-liner, Will Smith is walking up to the stage with the, you know, lights, cameras on national TV, rears back with his right hand and follows through very strongly on Chris Rock's face. Open hand slapped on national television. Everybody saw it. You're kind of in shock on what happened. Is this real? Is this fake? He walks back, you know, and, you know, says, keep, you know, my wife's name out of your mouth, yada, yada, yada. And then, you know, they kind of cut to commercial break and then go back. And then he actually ends up winning an Oscar for, you know, best actor, whatever. But kind of in discussing this event, I feel like there's a lot of details that are, you know, being thrown around. You know, is this real? Is this fake? I could see it being real. I could also see it being staged. And people will say, well, I don't think if it was staged that he would say this or he would do that or, you know, whatever. But at the same time, these are the top actors in the world. They can make, you know, anything seem real or seem, you know, believable. So I think, you know, real or fake, I don't know. I think the joke itself, I don't see any. I don't think that's something to get overly hurt about. I mean, she came out and, you know, said that she's been dealing with something that's causing her to lose hair. But I mean, unless you like really follow Jada Smith, because I didn't know this beforehand, I didn't even know she was bald. But you know, unless you like really follow her, you probably don't really know what she's going through in her personal life. And you know, Chris Rock just sees, you know, bald head, Amber Rose, you know, G.I. Jane, you know, UFC fighter Rose Namajunas, Yunus. You know, you could go through a list of jokes you can say about bald women, and he just picked, you know, G.I. Jane and then was going to the next one. I don't think he had any ill intent on it. I don't even think he probably knew that, you know, she was dealing with something about why she has a bald head in the first place. But, you know, who knows on that front? Can't really speak on it. But, you know, I mean, it's a crazy situation because, you know, on one hand, you look at Will Smith, he looks like he's laughing, you know, he's poking fun. The comedians up there, they poke fun at everybody. So, I mean, he laughed at the Jada joke or at least you would think he's laughing as in, yeah, that's funny. Or you could say that he's laughing like, oh, you picked the wrong, you know, person to mess with. Either way, I mean, it looked like he was laughing and Jada was annoyed with it. But, I mean, I don't know what he was thinking beforehand. I'm sure they rehearse these jokes, these, you know, lines beforehand. So I'm sure they know what's coming. And if they didn't have, you know, any reason to say it versus not saying it, I mean, who knows? But I kind of learned about the Oscars and this whole event through social media, through Twitter. Twitter was having a field day with this last night. I, for one, was not watching the Oscars. Even after this event happened, I did not throw the Oscars on. All I know is, you know, from what Twitter was saying and then watching videos on Twitter. So, I mean, this could be something that, you know, they pull to get people talking about the Oscars. You know, I don't know. personally, I mean, if this was real, if Will Smith was mad, if Jada Smith was mad, I mean, he's a comedian. You can't really do that. He's poking fun at you, but he's also poking fun at everybody else. That's kind of like, you know, the name of the game when you're, you know, up there doing that. And I mean, they had, you know, female comedian Amy Schumer kind of be the host of the Oscars. And, you know, she's kind of doing similar stuff all night. So, I mean, I think Will Smith was probably out of pocket. I think, you know, that's not something that you should probably be doing, especially on national TV. Chris Rock, he took it like a champ. He, you know, didn't stumble or anything. And, I mean, after watching replays, you don't really see a cock back from Will. It's from hand on the hip to he's already following through. So it was a quick right slap. You know, kudos to him for taking it on the chin, not falling down, not, you know, stumbling, and kind of, you know, being the professional and kind of keeping the ball rolling, moving on, and, you know, into the commercial break. But did you end up seeing anything on social media? Did you hear about this today? Were you up last night watching it, or how'd you learn about it, and what's your thoughts on it?
Yeah, so I didn't this stuff until this morning when I woke up. We had, I forget exactly what we were doing last night, but we had the Oscars on for a little bit, like at the beginning, just kind of on in the background, wasn't really paying attention to it, you know. I don't know. They aren't like my top tier entertainment or anything. But man, this morning, you know, when I woke up to see it all, it was crazy. I had some people texting in like a group chat, like, oh my gosh, is this real? Like, look at this video. And it was, you know, the, whatever you want to call it, the clips that didn't, you know, censor anything and showed it all. And then I was, you know, scrolling on Twitter, and things about Twitter is, you know, when there's something like this, you know, my timeline is pretty heavily, I'd say, like, sports focused. In a big, you know, Monday night football game, or, you know, Super Bowl, or, you know, when you're watching the Final Four or something like that, you know, my timeline's pretty in tune with those sorts of events. But, you know, we don't get that from, like, television and movies as much, especially anymore when things are just being streamed, so everyone's watching them on their own time. Like, no one's really, like, live tweeting TV shows anymore. So other than sports, it's hard for people to, I feel like, be live tweeting events, or at least that I see online. But even my Twitter feed was all in on it. And Twitter's just at its best when it's making jokes right away when something right. like this is happening, you know? Mm-hmm. And I mean,
people are too quick with it.
Oh, people are quick with it. They, you know, Will Smith better be glad that, you know, Twitter wasn't the one up there handing out those jokes, or I think they'd still be going. But I mean, I think that's just when, like, Twitter is at its absolute best, at its peak. When I first saw it, I was like, oh, that's fake. You know, I saw him, like, slap him, walk away, and he's smiling, laughing. And then I'm like, you know, seeing more of the videos and stuff, and, you know, over during the commercial break when, you know, he was talking to Denzel Washington, things like that. And I was like, okay, no, I'm, so now I'm pretty bought in on it being real. Saw the breakdown by John Boy. I don't know if you watch John his Boy's breakdowns. Media. Yeah, he does great breakdowns of all sorts of, you know, a lot of like baseball ejections, or, you know, hockey fights or something like that. But whenever there's something crazy, he's, you know, he's the guy to break it down. And he did a good job with it. Kind of showed, you know, joke was told, Will's laughing, Jada's not. All of a sudden it cuts back to Chris Rock. All of a sudden Will Smith is walking up, and, you know, he was the one who pointed out where I saw that you know, after Chris Rock got smacked, he just, like, he never touched his face at all. So he just kind of, like, ate that slap, you know? Like, it really didn't seem to faze him too bad. So, interesting. Man, it was just crazy. I don't know what it would take for me to have to do that, you know? Someone made a joke about my bald wife. I don't think I would jump straight to that, but it is crazy.
Yeah, I don't know if, you know, Will Smith has probably been on Twitter in the last couple years about, you know, his and Jada's relationship. But, I mean, they've always had a field day with it. I feel like Will Smith's been, you know, a kind, you know, mild-mannered guy. You know, he's on top of the world. I mean, you have to be, you know, have some kind of power and pull to walk up on Chris Rock, you know, whether it's Will Smith or not, but to walk up at the Oscars on stage randomly, slap Chris Rock, the host, and then walk off to your seat and then be able to stay in your seat and not get escorted off. And then eventually, you know, a couple minutes later, win an award and go up and accept the award and give it a speech and stuff. So, you know, he's a powerful man. You hear, you know, so much being said about the relationship and stuff, but it's kind of weird that, like, that joke is what sent him over the edge after, you know, all these years of, you know, having Jada's entanglement, as she said, with, you know, other rappers, and you know, how she has come out and said that, you know, she's not satisfied with him, and, you know, still loves her ex-boyfriend Tupac, who died, you know, almost 30 years ago.
Man, is he dead, or are you not? I think that's in Cuba or something.
Topic for another day. Who knows? But I mean, it's kind of crazy all the things that's happened to him involving, you know, Jada. That, you know, this is what causes him to go over the edge, maybe have, like, that breakdown on national TV in front of everybody. Millions of people see it, you know, see his raw emotions coming from this. And, I mean, it wasn't even like that. It was a deep, you know, gut-wrenching, insensitive, you know, joke or even...
I mean, no, his first reaction was to laugh at it like everyone else in the crowd was, you know?
It's just like, you know, silly, lighthearted, you know, poking fun at somebody, but he's poking fun at, you know, three people beforehand, and he's probably going to poke fun at three people afterhand. So, you know, if he didn't, you know, go up there and do that, I mean, I'm sure nobody would even remember the joke the next day. And I'm kind of wondering if, you know, if it was Jada that ended up going up and slapping him, since she was the one that was kind of, you know, annoyed with the joke initially and not Will Smith. If she went up and slapped him, would there be more, you know, pushback for her or Rock? Or
that whole situation would go over way different if it wasn't Will Smith and it was Jada. But yeah. I mean, that's not the way it went. And, you know, that's what we're left with. And yeah, I think a bunch of people who would not have seen that part of the Oscars, myself included, now have watched that clip, you know, 100 times. And, you know, I'm sure he's got to regret it at this point, right?
You would think, yeah. I don't think he's looking out to be, you know, a good man after, you know, what happened and what everyone's saying. I think a lot of people are on, you know, Chris Rock's side. I think there's a lot of people that, you know, like Chris, and you know, like what he stands for. He's a comedian. I mean, his friend group is, you know, David Spade, Adam Sandler, Kevin James, just like the guys you want to hang out with on a Saturday in a garage, you know, and yeah, you know, play cornhole with. So I mean, there's no like ill intent in their heart for anything, but I mean, I don't know. I don't want to get into their business, but I don't think Jada is a healthy option for Will. Honestly, I think a lot of his emotional demise has come from her, and you know, I don't know how he is, you know, behind the scenes, but
I mean this can't be the last that we're going to hear about this and, you know, their relationship. I mean, not that we've asked for everything that we found out about their relationship. I know there's always a tweet that goes around whenever there's new Will and Jada drama. It's, you know, everything that I've learned about these two relationship has been against my will. Like,
yeah, they're going to tell you.
I mean, you're going to find out about it. You know, you're not going to maybe necessarily want to have known, but you're going to find out about it.
Yeah. And you, it's not like they can. I feel like Will wants to like keep the relationship, and he has always wanted that. I don't know if like Jada's pushing away and Will keeps on trying to come back or what. But I mean, like in Hollywood, you know, I mean, there's, you know, staged relationships that you go out in public with and people think that they're dating or they're married, in order to just, you know, keep the look of having, you know, a happy family. And, you know, maybe they could do something like that for the kids, but I think Will needs to get out of there for his own mental health, because I don't think she's good enough for our boy Will from Bel Air. I don't know this. I think there's going to be like repercussions to this. I mean, is there going to be, or any other comedians going to want to host, you know, events like this? Are they going to feel comfortable, you know, telling jokes? Is Will and Jada going to be welcomed back to the Oscars or to another event like this in the future? Are they going to, you know, kind of like almost be boycotted in Hollywood and no one like pick them up? I mean, Will's like one of the biggest actors in the world. So, I mean, if someone wants them, then they're going to get them. But I mean, maybe they see this as a, you know, reason to step away for a little bit to, you know, regroup, catch their bearings and move forward. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely in the last that we're hearing about it. So we're just going to have to find out what ends up going on.
Very juicy, to say the least.
Very.
Jumping right into segment number 3, we got our random question. We got some recommendations, and we have Tyler's quote of the week. But first, we got to get started with our random question. So, Tyler, this week's question: what is the worst pain you have ever felt? Now, I'm not talking about you driving home late at night, listening to Drake. You know, you're 16, just got broken up with. I don't want that emotional stuff. What's the worst physical pain you've ever felt?
Well, luckily, I have not been, you know, seriously injured, not broken a bone, anything like that, you know, knock on wood. But
you hear a knocking?
I hope you did hear that knocking. But yeah, so don't have anything like that. But there was a time in high school, it was in just like some summer ball, where I hurt my back. And I don't know, like, exactly what happened with it, but I was laid up on the couch for a couple days. It hurt to move it at all.
Just had to basically like ice it, heat it, you know, whatever I was trying to do to, you know, just basically not move so that I wouldn't have to feel anything. And I was at the point where I was like, all right, if, you know, I wake up and tomorrow it's like this, you know, got to go see a doctor or something like that. And it just kind of like magically went away and was just like a general soreness. And I was like, well, dang, back pain's one of those things that's like going to come back to get you. And luckily it never has so far. So, yeah, I mean, every now and then I have a sore back or something, you know, you sleep on it weird, you know, lift something too heavy, something like that. But this was like that, but times like five, you know, it's just like really debilitating for, like I said, about 2 days.
And, what caused it, man? Did you take a charge falling on your back? Was you diving on the floor? I know you a dog.
I mean, I am a dog, but that's the thing. I don't really remember any like one event. You know, there's definitely been times where, you know, I've taken some charges or something, and I know one charge I took that really hurt. It didn't really hurt like from the initial contact, but the guy was like jumped up in the air. And it knocked me over. But then when he came down to land, he landed like on top of me. And that's the part that hurt. Luckily, that was a point guard. So not a big body or anything like that. But, you know, he kind of came down. Yeah. Taking a charge on like a big body like that, like the initial hit is what, you know, hurts so much. And hopefully you just get like scooted all the way across the floor and you're fine. But you know, when then they come down to land on you, that's where it can really hurt.
But, sometimes they know that they're, you know, getting a charge taken on them. So they see you underneath of them. Like, this bitch just took a charge on me. I'm a headhunt and die right on your chest.
Yeah.
Like, they don't even try to move.
They don't like that. But, yeah. So, I mean, really, I don't think it's too bad in the grand scheme of things. Things like, you know, when I got my wisdom teeth out or something like that, but that was not really like as much pain as like I just felt sick and weak for a couple days after, you know. So haven't had any like crazy pain, or maybe I've just blocked it out. But yeah, what about you? What's the worst pain that you've ever felt?
So yeah, I'm kind of similar. But I have had, you know, some weird ones. I broke my ring finger in eighth grade playing football. Initially, it just felt like a jam, like a real bad jam. But ended up having it being broken. But it's healed now and all good. I've had, you know, when I was in elementary school, I may have been in fourth or fifth grade, I had, I was doing backflips on trampolines, and, you know, trampolines are death traps for little kids. And while I was doing a backflip, you know, I was always worried that I would jump and, do a backflip, but I would end up going so far backwards that I would fall off. So in my subconscious, I would try to be as straight up and down, or like land right where I started as I could. So I would end up, you know, to give myself some leeway, start on the far end of the trampoline. So you're kind of jumping right on the springs. So when you do your backflip, you can, you know, end up, you know, in the middle or even on the other side, with plenty of room to spare. But I guess I got somehow good enough with my backflips that I was, you know, kind of still landing, you know, up and down. And when I did this backflip, I ended up hitting my top of my mouth through my lip on the outer metal bar of the trampoline. So I ended up chipping my two front teeth into like an upside down V, and both of my nerves were exposed. And I'm sure you as a dentist can attest to knowing how painful that can be for a patient. But had both those nerves exposed. So it hurt to, it basically hurt to have just air pass through my mouth. So breathing through my mouth, if anything touched it, talking, you know, that air passing through the nerves was very painful. Had to get those drilled out, put some numbing stuff in your gums, take those nerves out, you know, fix a tooth, recap it, put some other stuff on, you know, yada, yada, yada. So now I don't have any feeling in my two front teeth, which is kind of cool. So I can like just bite into ice cream like a maniac and not feel anything. But that doesn't attest to the, you know, worst pain I've ever felt. And I'll probably rank these kind of similar. But one is definitely more exciting than the other. So I'll go ahead and start off with the boring one. This was, you know, maybe a couple years ago. Very boring. I was on my way to work, getting dressed. Or I wasn't on my way yet. But I was getting ready for work over at Shively Sporting Goods. You know, I just got out of the shower. I'm going to my dresser to, you know, get clothes on. And as I'm turning out of my dresser, there's like this sharp pain in my lower back that sends me to the floor, and I literally can't move my body like in any way. So I'm like, I crawl up on the bed, and I'm like laying in the fetal position with like this pain in my back. And if I move my legs in any sort of way, if I roll like just an inch to the left or to the right, just this sharp pain in my back, and I don't know what's causing it. I don't know what's happening, but it definitely freaked me out, and I was ready to be shot in the head like a deer. That day, I don't know what happened. The pain lasted for, the intense pain lasted for probably 20 minutes straight of not being able to really move, to get off the bed, to put my legs down or anything. Very scary. Don't know what it was. I probably would just assume it's a back spasm, and that's just kind of what happens when you have back spasms. But the rest of, you know, that day and the days after, it was just a really sore lower back. Like I couldn't bend down at the waist to, you know, if you're tying your shoes or whatever with your knees, you know, pretty straight and you're just going parallel to the ground, I wouldn't be able to get myself back up without pushing off something with my hands. So, I mean, that was kind of weird. But, like, then you rebuild the strength again to start doing that, and was fine ever since. And haven't had an issue like that since then. But definitely worrisome, but been fine ever since. The most crazy story that I got, and this is probably the most painful I've ever experienced, was the first day of senior year basketball tryouts, or not tryouts, basketball open gyms after school. First day of school. You know, we've been, you know, doing open gyms and stuff throughout the summer, even, you know, days and weeks leading up to school start, and we were doing stuff. So the only thing different about, you know, the open gym was that we just had school before then. So, you know, we're in all pretty good shape, used to doing drills and stuff. But I remember, just because it was the first day of school, senior year, we're doing some type of resistance bands training where you have, you know, 10-foot resistance band. You wrap it around, you know, a partner's waist, and you're kind of trailing them, you know, kind of keeping them from running so fast, so far out in front of you, and you're just kind of like jogging along with them. I was not really, you know, a pro at doing that sort of thing. I never really understood when to take off running, when to quit giving, you know, the resistance and kind of start running with the player. We're, you know, an hour into the open gym. We're doing these resistance bands training. And the biggest dude on our team, he's probably about 6'8", maybe 265, probably 270. Big country boy. Wants to be partners up with me, you know, 150. So, I mean, I shouldn't be holding this man back for anything. So I kind of put this on him for doing this to me, but he takes off running. He goes first. I'm holding on. I'm kind of like wondering when to take off. And then he's probably, you know, from, I'd say probably from the baseline to the 3-point line before I even decide to move. And it, for a resistance band, that is a long ways, you know, in front of you. And I probably should have started taking off when he was, you know, 3 or 4 feet in front of me and not 16 feet in front of me. But as I start to take off, the thing snaps and it's, you know, coming off his waist. I see it coming. It basically peels off from, so I have, you know, the left handle, the right handle in my hands, and it's, you know, wrapped around his waist. It pops off the right handle, goes all the way around, up around his waist, shoots back at me, and drills me, I kid you not, in my nutsack. And, you know, I immediately drop to the floor. I'm wondering if, you know, this is going to be my last days alive. It's, you know, so intense. It's unlike getting kicked, getting punched, getting slapped. Because it is all concentrated, high velocity band coming to, you know, this area. And, you know, I kind of like was on the floor for, you know, a minute. I go to get back up and, you know, I'm kind of like groggy a little bit. And as I'm getting up and I'm starting to walk away, you know, my vision starts to go white and I feel like I'm about to pass out. And, you know, I'm kind of like, you know, yelling at the coach to like come grab me because I'm about to fall down. And then he ends up putting me on the floor. We have the trainer come over. And, you know, he's, I kind of pull my waistband down a little bit. And you can kind of see, you know, on the kind of pubic area where it's starting to, it's bruised immediately, like purple around, you know, the whole area. I go back into the locker room. I look at like the head of my cock and like my left nut are all bruised and purple. And, you know, obviously I don't finish the drills. Told coach I got to head home and put some ice on my nuts. So, I mean, that, and you don't really think of like how often your nuts touch your leg until your nuts are bruised. So I'm like having to waddle like a penguin, you know, to class, to, you know, going home, coming into school. You know, you're kind of walking with a wide stance so your nuts don't slap your leg because it hurts. But pros for having that happen. Didn't have to go through conditioning for a couple days. So that was cool. You know, I might be infertile, who knows? I don't got no kids right now, so you know, we don't know the repercussions of having bruised nuts, but it definitely wasn't fun. Don't recommend it. I don't even think Steve-O and the Jackass Boys would do something like that. But I'd say that's probably some of the worst pains that I've ever felt in my life.
Oh, man. I knew the story when I got this random question that you sent me. You know, for our listeners, he'll send me the random question just not too long before we record. And sometimes I can just tell he has a story to go with that question. And I feel like this was exactly one of those situations. Well worth it. Absolutely well worth it. I love that story.
I'm surprised that's the first time I've told you about it.
Sounds like it was pretty traumatic for you.
It was nuts, literally, both of them.
Oh.
But, you know, trainers making jokes, teams making jokes, you know, whatever. I don't go up there. I don't slap them in the mouth. You know, I take it like a man. But, you know, it was cool. You know, got to have a funny story with, you know, the guys and something that I'll remember forever. Definitely don't recommend the experience as a whole. But, you know, I guess I turned out okay. I just have huge nuts now that I have to live with for the rest of my life.
I mean, what a price to pay.
Mm-hmm. Got me looking like Stan Marsh's dad from South Park with a wheelbarrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know the
thing I'm talking about. I know what you're talking about.
But that kind of wraps up my worst pain ever felt. Go ahead and vote on the poll. Who had the worst pain?
Yeah, I think you're going to win that one.
But now we can dive right into our recommendations, and I'll let you get the ball rolling with this one. What do you have for us this week?
Yeah, so like I said, I got to binge watch some stuff over my spring break, and I was just, you know, kind of scrolling on a few of the different services that we have to find something that that would interest me, that probably wouldn't be a show that my wife would want to watch, and ended up settling on the Band of Brothers show. It's on HBO. It's like a 10-part, about hour-long each episodes, kind of mini-series following a group of paratroopers through World War II. Really, I mean, I think it's got a lot of good info, kind of like not like a History Channel show, but you know, still gave some good history aspects of it. You know, really well done show. It's won a lot of awards and pretty highly thought of. So I just hadn't seen it yet, and so I had the chance to watch it and kind of binge watch it all, and I would recommend it. Kind of shows some of that history aspect of things like I was talking about, and it was just kind of a an interesting show. You know, I think a lot of us have kind of heard about some of the stuff with D-Day, but then I don't know, it just kind of jumps from D-Day to the end of the war, whereas this kind of gives you a little of that in between, and kind of shows what some of those soldiers went through. So I thought it was interesting. Is it something that you'd seen before, that you'd heard of?
No, I haven't heard of it. I know you said it's on HBO, so I have HBO Max, but I don't really like dive into their, you know, their.
Yeah, it's a hard app to use.
Yeah. It's like they get mad at you for using it.
Yeah, but it was something that, like, it was a show that I had already heard of that I knew would probably interest me, and so you know, sometimes I will scroll on there for like 5 minutes before I get frustrated and go back to Netflix. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it had popped up and I saw it and I was like, oh, okay, I'll watch that. Cause I had watched, there was another one done. I think Band of Brothers came out in like the early 2000s. And I think that there was one like 10 years later that they made called The Pacific. And it just followed, you know, a group of Marines through the Pacific battles in World War II. But it's just like a, I don't know, it's, I'd say that, you know, it's all for entertainment, but it's a more entertaining show or movie type thing than just like a History Channel of like, oh, here was this battle and here's what happened. So if that's, you know, sounds like something that would interest you, I would recommend it. If it's not your thing, you know, you probably won't enjoy it. There are some kind of tense moments, you know, scenes that are kind of hard to watch. So if that's not your thing, probably won't like it. But, you know, if you're into some of the history of it and things like that, I think it's something that you'd enjoy. And I'd go ahead and tack on The Pacific. It's also HBO. Another one. I haven't seen that one in several years, but you know, if you liked it, you probably like the other one. So give it a shot. If that interests you. But
I feel like HBO Max would have, you know, a lot more success and a lot more, you know, people watching the stuff predominantly over Netflix if they kind of just made the interface better. Like, they have good stuff on there. They have their originals. They have all the movies. They have the stuff that's coming out. They have all the stuff, but you can't, like, scroll like you can with Netflix. You can't, like, find something that you haven't seen.
And if you don't know, like, recognize the movie by its name and be like, oh, yeah, I know that that interests me, there's not, like, a quick way to, you know, watch a little bit of a trailer or anything like that. Like, they have trailers, but you have to, like, click into it, go to the trailer, watch the trailer, then decide, like, yes or no. And if you want to go back to scroll, then you go back and it, like, jumps you back to the top of the homepage. And it's like, all right, I'm just going to Netflix. You know, Netflix, you take, like, 2 seconds away from scrolling and it's like, just playing, you know, the trailer right there for you. You can still see everything that you're scrolling on. That's why Netflix is still king. But no, HBO, they have a lot of good stuff. You just have to already know what's out there, I feel like.
Yeah, you almost like need to scroll like on a computer before you even go onto the app on your TV.
Yeah, exactly.
But whatever.
So what's your recommendations?
Yeah, so I got another kind of doc, kind of following up on, you know, what I had a couple weeks ago with the Tinder Swindler. Pretty similar. I did not think it was going to be similar, but it still kind of remained the same. It's called Bad Vegan. It's on Netflix. It's making its, you know, ways around. People are talking about it. Basically, it's this girl. She's, you know, starting to become established in New York. She has this restaurant. She's creating this brand of vegan, you know, raw food. Starting to have this success. And suddenly, you know, she has all this success with the restaurant. You know, everyone loves her. She's starting to become a little, you know, slightly famous in the city. But, you know, she's still unhappy. She's single. She has her dog. She basically goes to the restaurant, works, builds the brand, goes home, and, you know, does nothing. So there's not really a social life there. In comes this guy who she met through, you know, social media, through, like, a friend of a friend. And, you know, he comes in. He's, you know, seems to, you know, wow her, you know, whatever. Not kind of similar to the Tinder Swindler, but he still, you know, seems like he's Well Madoff. He has this story about him being like ex-military, you know, CIA agent undercover, kind of in that field. So it's kind of hard to find any research on him. But, you know, going into it, he's very similar to the other doc. He ends up having her wire him, you know, this amount of money, you know, every, you know, couple days. I think in the end, she ends up wiring him like $1.7 million from the restaurant's funds. You know, she's been in a relationship with him for, you know, 4 or 5 years, and she's just constantly wiring him money. Basically, what he's kind of saying is that he is not really human. You know, and with her kind of like being vegan and into like, you know, crystals and having this, you know, different energy about him, that he's kind of very similar, and like he's not, you know, a normal human. He's lived for eternity. He knows how to bring her to this, you know, ultimate life, and can have, you know, her dog live for forever as well. And so, I mean, it kind of like gets goofy in that aspect, but I mean, it's a real story. They end up going on the run because the restaurant has to close because it runs out of money from her transferring all the money to him, and the employees end up not getting paid, and then end up, you know, kind of protesting outside the restaurant. They're on the run because they haven't paid their employees. They end up getting, you know, found due to a pizza delivery while they were in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. They found it tied to like his credit card, his name and stuff, and then find her while they were on the run. And, you know, they, you know, obviously end up breaking up because she kind of comes to and realizes how crazy she's been to be with him, and kind of goes through their whole story. Definitely kind of crazy. You don't really think it turns that way, especially after, you know, watching a similar doc. But I guess there's more than one story about people being conned. I'm sure this isn't going to be the last story either. But, you know, you got to be careful who's asking for your money. Ladies and gentlemen, if someone's asking for your money, asking for wires, do not do it, no matter who it is, no matter how much you trust them, especially if they keep on asking you. I mean, I think I'd probably stop after maybe $100,000 of someone asking me for wires. But to get all the way up to like 1.7 million, I mean, you got to be nuts. But good doc. Recommend it. Pretty cool how they go into the story, and they actually interview, you know, people from the restaurant. They interview the lady's dad. They end up interviewing the lady herself. Basically everyone that's involved with the story except for the boyfriend that was, you know, conning them out of, you know, whatever. But, you know, good documentary on Netflix. I think it's about 3 or 4 parts, maybe 45 minutes to an hour each. I ended up binging it over, you know, a Saturday while I wasn't doing nothing. So on Netflix, go watch it. Tyler?
All right. Well, I'll give that a add to the list.
And why don't you go ahead and finish our most important segment of every episode, the most anticipated segment of every episode. We got your quote. And I'm kind of curious, you know, you don't tell me what these quotes are beforehand. I just say Tyler's quote, and then you insert it right here. So this is my first time hearing it, you know, on every episode. I don't know what you're going to say. I kind of have a feeling which way you're going to lean.
I was kind of hitting on this one. You know, I got to keep with our theme from our main topic, the Chris Rock and Will Smith. Just stated, you know, we already have some Will Smith apologies being sent out. So, like we said, we knew that this wasn't going to be the end of it. It's not. We're already getting the apologies. But my quote, what stuck out to me the most when I watched, you know, that play over and over again, and I just kept watching and watching it, was afterwards, it was Chris Rock, where he was like, wow, dude, it was a G.I. Jane joke. Like, that's the quote. It's just crazy how that's what set it all off. So that's how we're ending it.